Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
And it is the Anton Savage Show. And if you have any questions relating to divorce or marriage breakup, the legal aspects of divorce, marriage breakup, relationship breakup, you can fire them into 53106 or 087 1400 106 because Keith Walsh, family law solicitor, is with us. I was just saying during the break, I still have the feeling that divorce is a new thing in Ireland. It's nearly 30 years.
It is nearly 30 years, you know. And it's, we were talking on previous programs that there was a stigma attached to it, and that has certainly reduced, I think, in the 30 years. Hopefully, when it came in initially, people were kind of reluctant to admit to it and to say they were getting divorced, and maybe it wasn't as socially acceptable. But hopefully, a lot of that has gone. I don't think it's fully gone, but it's more normal. Really, I think.
Well, it's obviously fairly normalised given the amount of queries that we're getting coming in. One interesting one, can I refuse a divorce until my wealthy partner gets an inheritance that they are due?
That's a great question. No, you can't refuse a divorce. Our difficulty at the minute is the Irish legal system and the family law system in particular. It's easier to delay things than it is to move them on fast. So you may be able to delay it, but you're never going to stop the tide coming in, I'm afraid.
And what about the rights to money that is due but not arrived to the other party? So let's say somebody has a business that they sell a year after the divorce. Can you say, hang on a minute, I'm due a bit of that?
Well, there's no completely clean break in Ireland, but generally if you have a full and final settlement clause and there's been full disclosure at the time, it is difficult to come back unless there's a significant or a very significant change in circumstances. So future assets you won't really have a claim on, but you may have depending on the circumstances.
Text saying, can you ask if the family home forms part of a separation agreement or divorce where they already have a house of their own together?
The family home. In most cases, almost all of the assets, whether jointly or solely owned, are in the pot technically to start off with. Whether you might get the same share of inherited property or another property really depends on the circumstances. And the court and the settlement of the case will depend on being fair or proper provision for both people. So it really depends, I suppose, on the value of the two houses. Everybody is going to need somewhere to live. It's a particular problem for people getting separated or divorced at the minute. There's one house. If you're lucky enough to have two houses, that's great. But the person who doesn't have a house is going to be facing a lot of rent. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors really there.
Well, this goes to a question that is coming in a lot in different forms. Is there an automatic division of property in a divorce that's 50-50?
there's no automatic assumption of a 50-50 split. Most people who come into my office looking for advice on divorce or separation come in with that thinking that, oh, it has to be 50-50 on everything. It doesn't. And again, what would the period of the 50-50 be? Would it be from the date you acquired the asset, or is it from the date that you got married? And that's particularly relevant in relation to pensions. If you marry somebody and maybe they paid into a pension for 10 years before the marriage, are you entitled to whatever percentage of that pension since they joined the pension scheme, even if it was pre-marriage, or is it just from the date of the marriage? So that's an argument that gets played out daily in negotiations. So it really, again, it goes back to fairness or this concept of proper provision. And that's in the Constitution, that if a divorce has been granted, the judge doesn't rubber stamp or sign off on the agreement that the lawyers or the parties make. They have to look at all the assets and make sure that they properly provide for both people. So what's proper provision? It depends if there are children or not. Obviously, if one of the spouses is going to be looking after the children, the ages of the children might be a fact. The income that the parties have would be a factor. What they brought into the marriage might be a factor. What their pension provision might be a factor. Their health and well-being is a factor.
Does one have to maintain the other in the style to which they have become accustomed? So if one partner wasn't wealthy, ends up wealthy by virtue of the marriage, do they have to be maintained at that level or return to their previous status?
No, it's more the level they achieved in the marriage. But I mean, the courts also recognise in almost all cases, except your what are called big money cases, both people are going to be poor after a separation or divorce because you're running two households. The kids might be going between two places. So there is an acceptance that, look, you know, even except in the wealthier cases, you're not really going to be able to maintain the standard. And divorce or separation, unfortunately, does result in a reduction in the standard of living in many cases.
Interesting one saying, I've been separated from my wife for 20 years, but we never got a legal separation or a divorce. Can she make a claim on assets that I acquired or on my pension from the date after we separated?
So the law is that you're married until you're divorced, and a legal separation with a full and final settlement clause will be very helpful. And that, had you entered into a legal separation, which this person hasn't, that would be helpful in terms of saying, look, that's the point at which the time stops in terms of the other spouse's entitlement to your pension or other things. But if you don't have a legal separation, there is a prospect that your wife or your husband would make a claim for the entire period. So I suppose the lesson is to try and get, if the marriage is finished, just to regularise it and get your separation agreement or your separation or divorce in place so that the clock stops to some degree and you can move on and live your life.
But you can't post factum evidence it to a judge. You can't go in and say, look, I can bring in people who will swear to the fact that I have seen hide nor hair of them in the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, that's definitely going to be a factor. And again, this goes back to the 50-50. There's no automatic presumption of 50-50. It depends on the circumstances. In those cases, it would be difficult to obviously argue for a 50-50. But you're not going to entirely rule it out. And again, it depends. So if you haven't seen hide nor hair of the person, but they've brought up your three children, you know, that obviously could be a factor as well, you know.
It's interesting how much finances come into play. Text saying, a pithy text saying, if you win money, does that have to be split with a partner?
Well, there's a kind of separate regime for kind of lottery wins or personal injury actions or to some degree employment law cases, but it depends on the circumstances, that they're more viewed as the property of the person. So, for example, if you suffered a personal injury and you got a claim, well, that's because you've suffered the injury. If you win the lottery, that's something that has arisen not as a result of the marriage. But again, fairness would probably dictate that if those are very substantial claims or wins, it's quite difficult to exclude them from the pot. So it's hard. But when I started work as a law clerk in the Legal Aid Board, there were a number of lotto winners who didn't come to us, but their spouses did because they had no money, which meant obviously the people who won the lotto disappeared. So that was a feature of the 1990s, unfortunately. So if your spouse wins the lotto, hopefully they'll share it with you.
One saying, if the family home is in just one spouse's name, the husband, what rights does the wife have? 27 years married.
In 1976, one of the most revolutionary probably pieces of legislation and most helpful pieces of legislation was passed, which is the Family Home Protection Act, which says it doesn't matter if the family home is just in one spouse's name or in joint names, the person whose name isn't on the family home has an equal entitlement to it. And there's all sorts of protections. So the spouse, even if
But pre-76, you could have the home whipped out from under you if you weren't on the deed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it was a really huge... I mean, there was a bit of legislation in the mid-1970s that made a huge difference to the lives of wives in particular as a result of the, if you like, there was a lot of campaigns for that. So the Family Home Protection Act is where you go for that.
One final one. Is there any joint friendly divorce here like Australia? What's a joint friendly divorce?
A joint friendly, at the minute, if you want to apply for a divorce, one of the two people applies for the divorce and it's kind of set up slightly adversarially. Now, generally, most divorces and separations get resolved, but it's kind of Michael versus Diane or whoever is on the title. Now, the new Family Courts Bill, which was published in 2024, passed through the Oireachtas, that makes provision for joint applications. So if you settle a case or mediate it or use lawyers and settle it before you start the case, you don't have to do it. You can both do it together and it's a joint application. That's a hugely positive step. Hopefully it'll be implemented and resourced shortly. So it's on the way.
And do you find many people who are in the emotional space to go through it in a friendly fashion?
You do. It depends how long people are separate and apart, really. I mean, initially it takes quite a while. But I mean, that's the ideal way that you want people to understand that really it's just about the money and hopefully just about looking after the children together and being respectful to each other. That's the right way to do it if you can.
Keith, thank you very much. That is Keith Walsh, family law solicitor. And apologies if we didn't get to any of the question that you sent in because we were somewhat inundated. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106. Coming up, we'll be talking to Sonia Lennon.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur.
Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.